We're going to continue our walk through this wonderful book that the Lord has given us through the words and the pen of the Apostle Paul. We're in Philippians chapter 3, moving toward chapter 4. Today I want to talk to you about together toward the call. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing as we open your word today. Let our hearts be open and our minds be active and cause that there would be no distractions from what you would do in each of our lives. Let our hearts and minds be focused on you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let me read to you, beginning with verse 15 of chapter 3. We'll read several verses here. He says, therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it might be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. This is the word beloved twice. All right. Now, you may notice I read into chapter 4. Not sure if, again, chapter headings were not, the apostle didn't put chapter headings in there. He would have written like you and I write or speak in sentences, and those sentences connected into paragraphs. But he did not, those chapters were put in there later so that you and I could look things up. So I'm not sure if the thought ends there. It's probably actually a continuation, and maybe there shouldn't be a chapter heading in it at all. We'll talk more about that as we move forward and get into chapter 4. Just a brief backstep. Verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Last week I said that we'd revisit this. And here Paul is talking about this call. He's referring to the will of the Lord for every believer to grow and mature in the Lord. We'll talk more about maturity a little bit later. The word call here is used that way, but it's used in different ways throughout Scripture. But it's almost always used as having to do with God's will. So, and I'll just give a couple brief examples. Number one, for all believers, like it is here, he wants all believers to go on in the Lord and grow and mature until we connect, or as Paul says, apprehend the Lord in his sufferings and even in his death. So he talks about that process of maturation. Or secondly, the word call can be used for specific believers, having to do with each and every one of us for the specific things that God has revealed to us as his will for our lives. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are created into good works that God has prepared for us that we should walk in them. Now, I didn't turn to it to read it, but I think if you go and look, you'll find that that's a pretty faithful representation of it. So we are called to do certain things, and each of us is going to have a different that's going to manifest itself differently in each of our lives. There are callings that are universal, which is here has to do with growing in the Lord and being mature, and then there are specific that have to do with our works, our actions, our attitudes. The Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. That was God's specific purpose and work for his life. Now, I can't get into all of the details of it today, but each one of us has a place in God's, if I can use the term, economy. Each of us has a place in God's plan and purpose, and that is our calling. And we'll maybe talk more about that a little bit later. So universally in this instance, maturity, and there are other universal things that the Lord wants us all as believers to do, and maybe even work toward that call together, which is kind of the theme of this message. And then there are specific things for each of our lives. I want to encourage you to be judicious with the use of the word call, because it always refers to God's holy, sovereign will. There are other terms that are bantied about, sometimes carelessly, in the Christian community, such as led, the Lord led me, or the Lord spoke to me, or I got a word, or I received a word from the Lord, etc. And those phrases, folks, should only be used with qualification or with the most solemn certainty. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, Paul wrote that specifically referring to the Jewish people and how they were called of the Lord. But there's manifestation or application to that to our personal lives. So when we say without qualification, this is what God has called me to, we're locking some things in and we're connecting ourselves, and we need to be careful to make sure that we're correct when we do it. When used frivolously, those words, the word call or those other words, devalue God's work in our lives. And they devalue the certainty of God's will, God's sovereign will, I should say. And I've been around long enough to have people tell me what God's will for their life was, and 6 months later, God has a different will for their life. God is so fickle, isn't he? He just changes his, oh, I don't like where I put you, I'll move you over here someplace else. Well, God doesn't do that. Now, let me give you a couple caveats or qualifiers with this. God will never call you to violate his word in principle or in letter. Some principles are hard to be understood by us simple people, and so sometimes we stumble over them. In other words, an example of that is we sometimes stumble over Rahab's faith in deceiving those whose purpose was to destroy God's greater work. So she deceived by faith, because there was a greater principle at work. So God will not call us, lead us, give us a word, whatever, that violates his obvious letter of his word and or the principles behind it. Number two, the second thing, God will not call you as a cover for your guesses, manipulations, speculations and strivings for the things you want. Are you having fun yet? Turn with me in your Bible to James chapter 4. Let's read a few verses. I don't hear any pages. I hope you're turning. James 4. There we go. I heard somebody. Yay. Verse 1. I'm going to read several verses here. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. And by the way, disconnect lust from sexual things in this instance, because it's basically the same concept as desire. We tend to think about it only in one area, and that's not the case. You can lust after a car or a house or a new tractor. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives us more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And he goes on. There's more things he could say, and they're good things, and they actually connect what we're talking about, but we don't have time to read all of this and talk about all of this today. But James zeroes in on a concept I want us to think about, and that is transferring our carnal, worldly desires. He basically kind of connects it with adultery or idolatry. We connect those things that we want and try to put a spiritual cloak on them, which is why I said God will not call you to cover for your manipulations, speculations, and strivings for the things that you want. And that's a hard lesson to learn. Now, I'm going to talk about guesses here in just a minute. But let me talk about this for a second. We need to be careful that we don't cloak our rebellion or our desire by saying, God called me. God led me. Folks, the moment you cover your actions by claiming God's perfect will, you are on your own. Who can say anything to you? As a matter of fact, that's usually why it's said. It is usually used as a shield to protect others from saying something to you that might be contrary to what you want to do. So we claim that God led us and showed us and is taking us here, and this is God's will, this is God's call for my life. And we do that because we don't want anyone to question us. We don't want anyone to challenge us. Because who can challenge the will of God for somebody else? That's why I said, let's be judicious with this, and let's be careful with it. It's easy for us to get drawn away by our own lusts and desires. And when we are, I encourage you to read James 4. When something out here seems really good and you're really thinking maybe this is what God has for you, but in the back of your mind, I'll use mind, you'll know what I mean. There is a nagging issue. Unfortunately, we live in a day and an age, and I'm sure it's always been this way, but it seems to be more common perhaps now that we look at Scripture to find something to reinforce what it is we want to do. We've got entire theological systems that are set up to do this. I heard a blatant example of it just this past week, where a preacher said that Eve was using wise discretion when she disobeyed God. And you say, that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But this person was standing behind a sacred desk, or what at one time was dedicated to be a sacred desk, probably now defiled, was standing behind it and saying that this is the word of God. Why? Because the real word of God did not fit with their particular political agenda. If you understand what I just said, would you say amen? I'm trying to see here if you find out if you guys are there, or if you're catching up that hour of sleep you lost. That's hard stuff, folks. But this is where our Christian life comes into actual practice, where we see things going on around about us. And it's not always things. It can be appeasing somebody. It can be the acceptance of other people. And that thing runs up against what we kind of understand to be the word of God. And in the process of doing that, we try to find a way to compromise so that we can have that thing, so that we can say that thing is the thing that God wants me to do, i.e. that's my call at this particular time. Now, let me back up for just a second. I said, God will not call you to cover your guesses, manipulations, speculations, and striving. Let's talk about guesses. Because to some degree or another, every one of us is a guesser. We look at this book, and we call out to the Holy Ghost, call out to the Lord, call out to the Holy Spirit, and say, Lord, direct my steps. And I pray as I read that thing to you a week or so ago, that when we get up in the morning, we commit the day to the Lord. And I pray that you do that. But there may be some time during that day that you encounter something you've never encountered before, and you once again are calling out to the Lord to find out what it is you should do. If you do not know what the Lord wants you to do, just say so. Let's be real practical about this. There are times we don't know what the Lord wants us to do. Just say so. Say, I'm praying about this. Or please pray with me about this. We are all in this together. We don't always know exactly what it is we're supposed to do. That's why I said we need to be judicious about saying the Lord called me to do something. If you do not know what the Lord is doing, say so. We have a spiritual family that we're supposed to be going through all of these struggles together with. You know, there has been a lot of sickness go on the past few weeks. And I don't have a poll. I don't have any numbers. But my guess is there have been several of you who have called out to others of you who have said, what should I do? Or what do you know about this? Or have you ever encountered something that will help with this? And yet when it comes to Christianity, we like to be lone rangers and say, I'm going to talk to the Lord and the Lord is going to direct me and he's going to show me. And we get on this certainty trail. Now, the certainty of it is that the Lord will take us from where we are to where he wants us to be. Paul expresses that in just a couple of sentences. The Lord will take us from where we are to where he wants us to be. We just need to remember that we walk there in humility with others who are also walking in humility. We don't walk there with superheroes who never make a mistake and are never fail and are never take a wrong turn and are never have doubts and are never have questions. We walk there with people like ourselves. So let's walk in humility. We're all weak and we all need the strength of others. Let me read to you, actually, that's what we're talking about here. He says, I'm in James. Let me go back here. Verse 15 says, therefore, in Philippians 3, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now, let's go back to what he's talking about here. He's talking about us going on in the Lord and being mature in the Lord. Not perfect. And that's not the word mature here. Some of your translations has the word perfect. That's not what it means. It actually means mature. We don't use that word. That was, you know, an old English word. We don't use it that way anymore. The word mature means the ability to take spiritual things seriously and to do so. The mature take spiritual things seriously. Now he says the mature here will agree to whatever degree of growth or maturity they have received. That's what it says in verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. So wherever we are, that's where we go. We start from. We have all left that unsaved life behind us, and we press on in the Lord. We have left all of that. And God is in charge, and he'll take care of it. He will. And look, it says in verse, keep going to the wrong place. He says, if anything you think otherwise, verse 15, God will reveal even this to you. So he's in a point saying, listen, if your brother or sister doesn't agree with this, God will take care of it. God will show it. Listen to his attitude. Therefore, as many as you are mature, have this mind in you, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. God will take care of it. God will show it to you. You don't have to be pressing. You don't have to press yourself. You don't have to have others pressing on you. You don't feel like you need to press on others. He'll show you. Not everyone is at the same place in the Lord. This is where humility and fellowship come together and play in. We are sometimes shamed by our own immaturity and spurned on by the examples of others. That's what Proverbs 27:17 is talking about when it says iron sharpens iron. We need others. Hebrews 12:1 talks about those that have gone on before us and talks about this great cloud of witnesses. We're not alone. We need to be careful that what we do and say does not isolate ourselves. I'll go back to this thing. Well, this is what the Lord told me to do. Now, I don't hear everything that goes on in everybody's life, and that's okay. Frankly, that's probably a blessing. But I do hope, and that's why the church is not just a pastor. I do hope you make decisions that you have people praying with you. Don't show up to your group and say, I've prayed about this and this is what God's told me to do, when your group doesn't know anything about it. That's not how this works. That's not how this is supposed to work. If you think that's how it's supposed to work, that's a mistake. If you have a nagging thought that it's not supposed to work that way, and you don't want to submit and you don't want to pray, that's a problem. And we're only going to get where we need to go as we go together, and as we help one another, and as we pray for one another, and as we follow, as it says in these next verses, as we follow the example. He says, Paul says, look, follow my example. When he talks about we, I think he's talking about the apostles. We have a pattern here for you. This is how you're supposed to live. Follow this pattern. Let's work together on this. Let's go together on this. So he says in verse 16, we're going forward. Wherever we go, we're going forward. All go forward. We want everybody to go forward. We want to all follow Paul's example. That's in verse 17. Join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. All right, so we've been all over the place today. The title of this was Together Toward the Call. So let's kind of try to conclude this thing. And let's think of this. As believers, we left behind a life of sin, idolatry, self-focus, selfishness. We left that behind, and together we push on. Together, we push on in the Lord. Just like Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on. Remember, because these few verses that we're looking at today can't be taken out of context of the rest of this book. Remember what Paul is dealing with. He's dealing with potential strife in the church. And as he goes through these chapters that we've already looked at, he shows us examples of submission and humility. He starts out with Jesus. And then he talks about Timothy. Remember Jesus, without going through all that again, Jesus left everything behind to take on the form of a servant that he might die. Paul says of Timothy, I don't have anyone like Timothy. He's the only one who thinks about you as much as he thinks about himself. So we have this example of humility there. He gives example of Epaphroditus, who for their sake almost died. And then in chapter 3, these are both all found in chapters 2 and 3, he gives himself as an example. He says, those things that I had to be proud of, they are nothing to me. They're trash. They're rubbish. I got rid of all of them. And then he calls us in that to a common maturity, to press on in the Lord, a maturity in Christ, a maturity in Christ-likeness. And we're to help one another in that process. We're to help one another move forward toward that goal without boasting, without lording it over people, If someone asks you to pray with them about something, pray with them and then shut up. Okay? Unless it's an emergency. All right? I mean, if they come and just say, you know, would you pray for me? I'm thinking of going out and playing in the highway. I would consider that an emergency. I would grab their hand and I would pray for them. And while I had a hold of the hand, I put them in a handlock and I pull them to the ground and I'd say, all right, I'm calling 911 because I'm not going to let you go kill yourself. That's kind of an extreme example. Most of the time, we tend to think that we have to have answers for people. Now, I'm the worst of it. I'm terrible at it. Because be careful here, that's my calling, is to teach. I've usually got three or four reasons why you shouldn't do what you're doing. I've usually got three or four reasons why I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And the Lord helped me with that when I asked the fellow to pray for me. And he gave me the three or four reasons why I should do what he thought I should do. And he had no idea what was going on. That helped me learn. Folks, we don't all know everything. And there is no doubt a time when someone will say, please pray with me about this. And you may ask them some questions and get involved in a dialogue and maybe have something to share about it. I've been there. And that's fine. But for most of the time when folks ask us to pray, just pray. Don't try to fix it. As the Apostle Paul says, God will take care of it. Pray with them. Love them. Be their friend. Doesn't mean you have to encourage what they're doing if you don't think it's right. But remember, God's the one who creates these good works that we're to walk in, and God's the one who directs our steps. So we move forward toward that goal without boasting, without lording over, with patience and with trust in the Lord. The same God who can direct our steps can also direct the steps of our brothers and sisters. Now, in verse 16, it says this, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Same mind. Paul says in chapter 2, and we'll close with this, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when Paul gets to this particular part of chapter 3 and he says, have this mind, be of the same mind, he's not saying something new. He's not introducing a new thought. It's something that's been going on all the while. He's been talking about it all the while. And this whole idea that the love of the Lord that would move us on, and the comfort and the fellowship of the Spirit would all take us someplace. It would take us to the place where we have one mind, and that would one mind would be to grow toward the Lord in His goodness and in His grace and in His blessing. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would direct our steps. I pray, Lord, that you would make our salvation and our calling sure. I pray that you would continually draw us closer to you, that you'd continually make us more like your Son, that you would continually cause us to mature in love and in wisdom and in discernment. I pray, Lord, that you would in your good time and in your way, remove from us pride and arrogance, self-protection. And help us, Lord, in your spirit, be humble and open. Help us be that with others as we pray for them, and help us be that to others when we ask them to pray for us. Lord, I pray you'll help us see, help me see, help us see that we all walk in the path that you have given us toward you. And that is, Lord, you will take us where you'd have us be. Give us the confidence to trust you in every area. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to hymn number 11. 1-1.